Captain's log, stardate 2821.5. En route to Machus 3 with a cargo of medical supplies. Our course leads us past Murasaki 312, a quasar-like formation. Vague, undefined. Priceless opportunity for scientific investigation. On board is Galactic High Commissioner Ferris, overseeing the delivery of the medicines to Machus 3. Captain to shuttlecraft Galileo. Stand by, Mr. Spock.
I remind you, Captain, I'm entirely opposed to this delay. Your mission is to get those emergency medical supplies to Machus 3 in time for their transfer to the new Paris colony.
No problem, Commissioner. And may I remind you that I have standing orders to investigate all quasars and quasar-like phenomena wherever they may be encountered. Besides, it's 3 days to Machus. And the rendezvous doesn't take place for 5.
I don't like to take chances. The plague is out of control in New Paris. We must get those drugs there on time.
No problem. Captain to Galileo. All systems cleared for takeoff.
Instruments activated. All readings normal. All go.
Launch shuttlecraft.
Normal. Acceleration normal. Phase one separation normal.
Position?
3.7.
Sorry.
Make up your mind, please, Mr. Latimer.
So this indicator's gone crazy.
That's to be expected, Mr. Spock. Quasars are extremely disruptive. Just how much, we don't know.
Considerably, Mr. Cuomo.
Mr. Spock, radiation is increasing.
Stop forward momentum, Mr. Latimer.
I can't, sir. Nothing happened.
Galileo to Enterprise. Galileo to Enterprise. Come in, please.
Aye, aye, interference, Mr. Spock.
They've drawn right into it. Galileo to Enterprise. Galileo to Enterprise. We are out of control, being pulled directly into the heart of Murasaki 312. Being hit by violent radiation on outer hull. Course 3.25.
Anything at all?
Nothing clear, Captain. Just a few words about being pulled off course.
Try and get me a fix on the Galileo.
Scanners are blank, Captain. We're getting a mass of readings I've never seen before. Nothing makes sense.
Negative ionic concentration, 1.64 times 10 to the 9th power meters. Radiation wavelength, 370 angstrom. Harmonics upward along entire spectrum.
What is it, Captain?
That thing out there has ionized its complete sector. None of our instruments work. At least 4 complete solar systems in the immediate vicinity. And out there, somewhere, 24-foot shuttlecraft. Off course. Out of control. Finding a needle in a haystack would be child's play.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. log, stardate 2821.7. The electromagnetic phenomena known as Murasaki 312 whirls like some angry blight in space, a depressive reminder that seven of our shipmates still have not been heard from. Equally bad, the effect has rendered our normal searching systems useless. Without them, we are blind and almost helpless.
I was opposed to this from the very beginning. Our flight to Marcus III is of the very highest priority.
I'm aware of that, Commissioner. At the same time, I have certain scientific duties I must perform, and investigating the Murasaki effect is one of them.
Yes, but you've lost your crew.
We have 2 days to find them.
2 days? In all that? 2 days?
What would you have me do? Turn around and leave them there?
You shouldn't have sent them out in the first place.
Captain, there's one planet in this solar system capable of sustaining human life. It's Type M. Oxygen, nitrogen, and it's listed as Taurus 2. It's unexplored. As far as we can determine with our equipment malfunction, it's just about dead center of the Murasaki effect.
Thank you, Mr. Salim. Yes, sir. Set course for Taurus 2. Aye, sir.
Was such that as we gathered speed, it was multiplied geometrically. And we were simply shot into the center of the effect. Well, like a projectile.
I'd say your evaluation is reasonable, Mr. Bowman.
What a mess.
Picturesque descriptions will not mend broken circuits, Mr. Scott. I think you'll find your work is cut out for you.
Galileo to Enterprise. Galileo to Enterprise, come in, please.
You don't really expect to get an answer, do you?
I expect nothing, Mr. Scott. It is merely logical to try all the alternatives. Dr. McCoy, a reading on the atmosphere, please. Partial pressure of oxygen, 70 millimeters of mercury. Nitrogen, 140. Breathable, if you're not running in competition.
Just the facts, Doctor.
Traces of argon, neon, krypton. All in acceptable quantities. However, I wouldn't recommend this place as a summer resort.
Thank you for your opinion. It will be duly noted. You're recording this, Yeoman?
Of course, Mr. Spock.
All right. Mr. Scott, if you'll make a survey of damage, please.
Logical.
Gentlemen, I think we should move outside and make room for Mr. Scott to do his work. Mr. Latimer, Mr. Gaetano, you'll arm yourselves. Scout out the area, keeping in visual contact with the ship.
Aye, aye, sir.
Chances are of contacting the Enterprise.
Under present conditions, extremely poor.
But they'll be looking for us.
If the ionization effect is as widespread as I believe it is, Doctor, they'll be searching for us without instrumentation, by visual contact only. On those terms, this is a very large planet.
Then you don't think they'll find us?
Not as long as we're grounded. We may be here for a very long time, Doctor.
Nothing, Captain.
Mr. Sulu.
Yes, Captain.
Anything on your scanners?
Totally inoperative, sir. No readings at all.
Have you tried tying into the auxiliary power?
Yes, sir. No change.
Transport room. This is the captain speaking. Are the transporters beaming up yet?
Not 100%, Captain. We beamed down some inert material, but it came back in a dissociated condition. We wouldn't dare try it with people.
Thank you. This is the captain speaking. Flight deck, prepare Columbus for immediate exit. For a search of the planet's surface. Correlate coordinates with Mr. Sulu. Thank you. Anything, Luver?
All wavelengths dominated by ionization effects, sir. Transmission is blocked, reception impossible.
Well, Captain.
We have until 2823.8 to continue the search, Commissioner.
You don't really think you'll have any luck, do you?
Look, these people are my friends and my shipmates. I intend to continue the ship's search for them until the last possible moment.
Very well, Captain. But not one second beyond that moment. Is that clear? If it isn't, I suggest you look at Book 19, Section 433, Paragraph 12.
I'm familiar with the regulations, Commissioner. I know all about your authority. Launch shuttlecraft Columbus.
Well, I can't say much for the circumstances, but at least it's your big chance.
My big chance? For what, Doctor?
Command. Oh, I know you, Mr. Spock. You've never voiced it, but you've always thought that logic was the best basis on which to build command. Am I right?
I am a logical man, Doctor.
Well, it'll take more than logic to get us out of this.
Perhaps, Doctor, but I know of no better way to begin. I realize that command does have its fascinations, even under circumstances such as these. But I neither enjoy the idea of command, nor am I frightened of it. It simply exists. And I will do whatever logically needs to be done. Excuse me.
Mr. Spock.
In what way?
We've lost a great deal of fuel. We have no chance at all to reach escape velocity. And if we ever hope to make orbit, we'll have to lighten our load by at least 500 pounds.
The weight of three grown men?
You could put it that way.
Or the equivalent weight in equipment.
Dr. McCoy, with very few exceptions, we use virtually every piece of equipment aboard this craft in attaining orbit. There's very little excess weight, except among the passengers.
You mean three of us must stay behind?
Unless the situation changes radically, yes.
And who's to choose?
As commanding officer, the choice will be mine.
You wouldn't be interested in drawing lots.
A very quaint idea, Mr. Bomer, but I do believe I'm better qualified to make the selection than any random drawing of lots.
All right, Mr. Spock. Who?
My choice will be a logical one, arrived at through logical means.
Mr. Spock, life and death are seldom logical.
But attaining a desired goal always is, Doctor. Now, gentlemen, I suggest we move outside to make a further examination of the hull in the event we've overlooked any minor damage.
If any minor damage was overlooked, it was when he put his head together.
Not his head, Mr. Bowman. His heart. His heart.
From up there. No, no, it's from back there.
It's everywhere.
It's all around us.
Let's get out of here.
What was it?
Something huge, terrible. Up there, I think I hit it.
Did you see what it was?
Vaguely, it's like a giant ape.
Poor Latimer.
Well, at least it was quick for him.
He'll get off all right.
Nothing there.
I tell you, there was.
I don't doubt your word.
Well, there must be something. I swear I hit it.
Folsom Point.
Sir?
This. Remarkable resemblance to the Folsom Point discovered 1925 Old World Calendar. New Mexico, North America. Bit more crude about the shaft, I believe. Not very efficient.
Not very efficient? Is that all you have to say?
Am I an error, Mr. Bowman?
You, heir? Impossible.
Then what, Mr. Bowman?
There's a man lying there dead. And you talk about stone spears. What about Latimer?
My concern for the dead will not bring him back to life, Mr. Bowman.
Mr. Spock, in the interest of efficiency, you don't think we should leave his body here?
Bringing him back to the ship should not interfere with our repair efforts. If you need assistance, I'll...
We'll do it. Give me a hand with Latimer, will you?
Captain's log, stardate 2822.3. We continue to search. But I find it more difficult each moment to ward off a sense of utter futility and great loss.
Captain, the Columbus has returned from searching quadrant 779X by 534M. Results negative.
Have them proceed to the next quadrant. Any word from engineering on our sensors?
They're working on them, sir. Still inoperable.
What about the transporters?
They're still reported unsafe.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Captain.
Yes, Commissioner.
I don't relish the thought of abandoning your crewmen out there. However, I must remind you...
I haven't forgotten, Commissioner.
You're running out of time.
I haven't forgotten that, Commissioner. This is the captain. Try using overload power on the transporters. We've got to get them working.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Uhura, order the Columbus to open its course 2 degrees on every lap from now on.
But, Captain, 2 degrees means you'll be overlooking more than a dozen terrestrial miles on each search loop.
Also means we have a fighting chance to cover the majority of the planet's surface. Mind your helm, Mr. Sweet.
Yes, sir.
Twenty-four more hours, Captain.
Perhaps if you were to channel the second auxiliary tank through the primary intake valve.
It's too delicate. It may not be able to take the pressure as it is.
This should save us at least 50 pounds, Mr. Spock.
Excellent, Doctor.
We should be able to scrape up another 100 pounds.
Which would still leave us at least 150 pounds overweight.
I can't believe you're serious about leaving someone behind. Now, whatever it is out there that we...
It is more rational to sacrifice one life than six, Doctor.
I'm not talking about rationality.
You might be wise to start.
Mr. Spock, we're ready.
For what?
The services for Latimer.
Mr. Bowman, we're working against time.
The man's dead. He deserves a decent burial. You hear the captain a few words.
Doctor, perhaps you know the correct words for such an occasion.
Mr. Spock, that's your place.
My place is here. If you please, Doctor.
Now look, we may all die here. At least let us die like men, not machines.
By dealing with first things first, I hope to increase our chances of staying alive. Well, Mr. Scott.
If you'll give me a hand with this conduit. The pressure's dropping. We're losing everything.
What happened?
One of the lines gave. The strain of coming through the atmosphere and the added load that we tried to bypass.
Yeah, that's done it.
We have no fuel.
Well, it would seem to solve the problem of who to leave behind. Consider the alternatives, Mr. Scott.
We have no fuel. What alternatives?
Mr. Scott, there are always alternatives.
Mr. Spock! Something's happening outside.
What do those super-sensitive ears make of that, Mr. Spock?
Wood. Putting on some kind of leather.
They're getting ready. They'll attack. Not necessarily. It could be a simple tribal rite. Assuming a tribal culture.
Not a tribal culture. Their artifacts are too primitive. More likely a loose association of some sort.
If we knew more about them, we could...
We know enough. If they're tribal, they'll have a sense of unity. And we can use that.
How, Mr. Bummer?
By hitting them hard. Give them a bloody nose, make them think twice about attacking us.
Yes, I agree. If we stand by and do nothing, we're just giving them an invitation to come down and slaughter us.
Mm. I'm frequently appalled by the low regard you Earthmen have for life.
Well, we're practical about it. Now, I say we hit them before they hit us.
Mr. Bomer?
Absolutely.
Dr. McCoy?
Seems logical to me.
Yes, indeed. It seems logical to me also. But to take life indiscriminately.
The majority.
I'm not interested in the opinion of the majority, Mr. Gaetano. The components must be weighed. Our dangers to ourselves as well as our duties to other life forms. Friendly or not. There's a third course.
That could get us killed.
I think not. Dr. McCoy.
Yes.
You and Yeoman Mears return to the ship. Assist Mr. Scott in any way possible. We'll be back shortly.
Right.
Gentlemen. You'll follow my orders. To the letter. Firing only when so instructed and at my designated targets.
Now you're talking.
You'll fire to frighten, Mr. Gaetano. Not to kill.
Oh, for the...
You saw what they did to Latimer?
I am in command, Mr. Gaetano. The orders and the responsibility will be mine. Follow me. Several, I believe. You direct your phasers to 2 o'clock and to 10 o'clock.
I say we hit them dead on.
Yes, I know, but fortunately I'm giving the orders. Take aim, please, and fire when I give a signal.
Say we should have killed them.
It was not necessary. Fear will do for us what needs to be done. Mr. Bomer, you return with me to the Galileo. Mr. Gaetano, you remain on guard here, keeping contact with the ship.
Scotty has an idea.
It's dangerous, but it might work.
Go, Mr. Scott.
I can adjust the main reactor to function with a substitute fuel supply.
It's all very well, but we don't have a substitute supply.
Aye, we do. Our phasers. I can adapt them and use their energy. It'll take time, but it's possible.
Trouble is, they happen to be our only defense. It would also seem to be our only hope.
Aye.
Yeoman, your phaser.
But what if the creatures attack again?
They won't attack for at least several hours. By then, with luck, we'll be gone.
If I can get a full load, we should be able to achieve orbit with all hands. Not that we can maintain it long.
We don't have to maintain it very long, Mr. Scott. In less than 24 hours, the Enterprise will be forced to abandon its search in order to make a rendezvous. If we can't maintain orbit after that time, it won't make any difference. If we burn up in a decaying orbit or die here on the planet's surface, we shall surely die. Doctor, your phaser. Go to work, Mr. Scott.
Aye, aye, sir.
Sir, in my opinion, the transporters are now safe for human transport.
Good. This is the captain. Landing parties 1, 2, and 3, report to transporter room for immediate beaming down to service of the planet. Ordnance condition 1A.
Captain, it's a big planet. It'll be sure luck if our landing parties find anything.
I'm depending on luck, Lieutenant. It's almost the only tube we have that'll work.
Take this back to Mr. Scott for conversion, please, Doctor.
Nobody knows what's happened to Gaetano. And you hand over his phaser like nothing's happened at all.
And give this to Mr. Scott in the event I don't return. Just where are you going?
I have a certain scientific curiosity about what's become of Mr. Gaetano.
Return to the ship, please.
I don't know. He'll risk his neck locating Gaetano. Then if he finds it, he's just as liable to order him to stay behind. You tell me.
Do you really think the ship will ever leave?
Well, it won't unless we get these phasers back.
Thank you.
Mr. Spock. They didn't stay frightened very long, did they?
Most illogical reaction. When we demonstrated our superior weapons, they should have fled.
You mean they should have respected us?
Of course.
Mr. Spock, respect is a rational process. Did it ever occur to you they might react emotionally? With anger?
Doctor, I'm not responsible for their unpredictability.
They were perfectly predictable. To anyone with feeling. You might as well admit it, Mr. Spock. Your precious logic brought them down on us.
Why haven't they done anything?
They're studying us. For the moment.
Another prediction, Mr. Spock?
My opinion, Mr. Bulmer.
Seal the windows. Studying us, Mr. Spock. They seem to learn rather quickly. All right, Spock, you have all the answers. What now?
Bulmer, the tone is increasingly hostile.
My tone is the only thing that's hostile, Mr. Spock.
Curious. Most illogical.
And I'm sick and tired of your logic.
We could use a little inspiration.
Strange. Step by step, I've made the correct and logical decisions. And yet two men have died.
You've brought our furry friends down on us.
Yes, I do seem to have miscalculated regarding them. And inculcated resentment on your parts. Some of the parts cannot be greater than the whole.
A little less analysis and more action. That's what we need, Mr. Spock.
How much longer, Mr. Scott?
Another hour, maybe two.
Won't be long enough.
Doctor, a phaser can only drain so fast.
How long do you think those plates will hold out under this? We've got to do something.
You get your hands full.
Captain's log, stardate 2823.1. Our landing parties are on the surface of Taurus 2, and we continue to hope. Instruments are only slowly returning to an operable condition as the ion storm slowly disperses. On the ship, we can only wait helplessly.
What word from the census section?
That last report, they were getting some readings.
I'm not interested in the last report. I want to know now.
Yes, sir.
You have 2 hours and 43 minutes, Captain.
I'm perfectly aware of how much time I have left.
I am delighted, however, I shall continue to remind you.
You do that.
Sir, sensor section reporting. Static interference, still creating false images. Estimates, 80% undependable.
What about radio communication?
Clearing slowly. Still incapable of transmission or reception.
What do you intend to do?
Do? They intend to continue the search, foot by foot, inch by inch, by candlelight if necessary, until the last possible moment. And if you keep your nose off my bridge, I'd be thankful.
I'm sure the authorities will be pleased by your diligence, Captain. I'm not so sure they'll appreciate the way you address a high commissioner.
I'm in command here, Mr. Ferris.
You are, Captain. For another 2 hours and 42 minutes.
Scott, how much power do we have left in the ship's batteries?
Well, they're in good shape, but they won't lift us off if that's what you're getting at.
Will they electrify the exterior of this ship?
That they will, Mr. Spock.
All right, get to the center of the ship. Don't touch the plates. Be sure you're insulated. Stand by. Are you ready, Scott?
Ready, Mr. Spock.
All right, go. Again.
I can't use any more. Not can be sure of the ignition.
I believe we've used enough, Mr. Scott. I suggest you continue draining the phasers.
It must have worked.
For the moment.
For the moment?
The moment they discover they're not seriously hurt, they'll be back. Meanwhile, please check the aft compartment. See if there's anything else you can unload to lighten the ship.
Mr. Gartano's body is back there.
It will, of course, have to be left behind.
Not without a burial.
I wouldn't recommend it. The creatures won't be far away.
Not without a burial, Mr. Spock.
It would expose members of this crew to unnecessary peril.
I'll take that chance. You see, Mr. Spock, I would insist upon a decent burial, even if your body was back there.
Mr. Bulmer.
But I'm sick and tired of this machine.
That's enough.
Gentlemen. All right, Mr. Bulmer, you'll have your burial. Provided the creatures will permit it.
Thank you.
Landing party number two has been beamed back to force ship. They have casualties. One dead, two injured.
Put Lieutenant Kellowitz on visual.
Kellowitz, Captain.
The report.
We were attacked, Captain. Huge furry creatures. I checked with Astral Anthropology, and their order 480G, anthropoid. Similar life forms discovered on Hansen's planet, but much larger. 10-12 feet in height.
They're casualties.
Lance and O'Neill got a spear through the body before we even knew they were around. Lieutenant Imamura has a dislocated shoulder and severe lacerations, but he'll make it all right. Captain, the creatures are all over the place. If the Galileo is down on that planet, I...
Thank you, Lieutenant. You better report to sick bay yourself.
Aye, Captain.
Captain Kirk, you check your chronometer. You'll see it is 28:23.8. Your time is up.
But they're still out there.
So are the plague victims on New Paris. I'm sorry, Captain. I now assume authority granted me under Title 15 Galactic Emergency Procedures. And I order you to abandon search.
But Columbus hasn't returned yet. I still have two search parties out.
You're procrastinating, Captain. You have your orders. Recall your search parties and proceed to Macus 3 immediately.
Lieutenant. Order the transporter room to immediately beam up the two search parties from the surface. Attempt to contact the Columbus.
I'm in partial contact with the mouse, sir.
Then have them return immediately. Mr. Sulu. Prepare to abandon search. Set course for Marcus 3. Captain's log supplement. The search parties have returned to the ship. The Columbus is on its way back. I have been compelled to abandon the search.
Captain, sensor section says the beams are working again.
What about the other systems?
No, sir. Too much interference.
Captain, course set for Magus 3.
Stand ready, Mr. Sulu. How long before the Columbus comes on board?
23 minutes, sir.
23 minutes.
Enterprise, this is Galileo. Come in, please. Enterprise. Nothing, sir, just ionic interference.
That's it.
How about weight?
If we shed every ounce, we might be able to achieve orbit.
And how long can we hold it?
A few hours, no longer. But if we time it right, we can cut out of orbit and save enough fuel for a controlled re-entry.
To land here again. Not a very attractive possibility.
We have very few alternatives, Mr. Spock.
Dr. McCoy, Mr. Bowman. When can we lift off, Scott?
Maybe 8 minutes, if the weight's right.
Gentlemen, ship will lift off in exactly 10 minutes. We have that long to bury Mr. Gaetano. Now it appears to be clear outside, at least for the moment. I'll assist you. Hurry.
The Columbus is aboard, sir. The flight hatch is closed. Transporter room reports last of the landing parties have beamed safely up. All systems report secured for warp factors.
Mr. Sulu, proceed on course for Marcus 3. At space normal speed. Those are my orders. Lieutenant Uhura, order all sensor sections to direct beams aft. Full function, continuous operation until further orders.
Yes, sir. Ship, immediate lift off.
No, go back! Lift off! Go back! No!
Scott! Quiet! I told you to lift off.
Don't be a fool, Mr. Spock. We couldn't leave you out there.
Get us off, Scott. We should be moving, but we're not.
Quite right, Mr. Scott. You seem to be holding us down. All systems are go, but we're not moving.
What are you doing?
Our boosters.
We'll never be able to hold orbit.
Would you rather stay here?
No, Mr. Spock.
We're moving!
There you go!
We're off!
Mind you, we have yet to achieve orbit, nor can we maintain it long. An hour from now, we may be right back where we started from.
Destroyed what slim chance you had for your survival. The logical thing for you to have done was to have left me behind.
Mr. Spock, remind me to tell you that I'm sick and tired of your logic.
That is a most illogical attitude. Orbit in 1 minute, Mr. Scott. Fuel status?
15 pounds PSI. Approximately enough for one orbit, sir.
After that?
Tapping our boosters ended our last chance for a soft landing.
You mean a burn-up?
That is the usual end of a decaying orbit.
I don't want to die up here.
Infinitely preferable to the kind of death we'd be granted on the planet's surface, I should think.
I admire your ability to make so measured a choice.
Mr. Spock, you said a while ago that there were always alternatives.
Did I? I may have been mistaken.
Well, at least I've lived long enough to hear that. Is there anything we can do?
The Enterprise is surely on course for Marcus 3 by now. I, for one, do not believe in angels.
Well, Mr. Spock, so ends your first command.
Yes. My first command.
Orbit attitude, Mr. Spock. With our present fuel, that gives us about 45 minutes.
Galileo to Enterprise. Galileo to Enterprise, come in, please. Galileo to Enterprise, come in, please.
Jettisoned the fuel and ignited it.
We need that fuel to maintain orbit. Are you out of your mind?
Perhaps, Mr. Bowman.
How long have we got now, Scotty?
Well, the orbit will start decaying as soon as the fuel's exhausted. Say 6 minutes.
At Taurus 2. Sensors. A meteorite?
No, it's holding a lateral line. There it is again. Holding steady, Captain.
180 degrees about, Mr. Sulu. Lieutenant Uhura, contact transporter room. All beams ready. Full orbital speed.
Distress signal? It's like sending up a flare. Mr. Spock, that was a good gamble. Perhaps it was worth it.
No one out there to see it.
Orbit decaying, Mr. Spock. 10 seconds to atmosphere.
Maybe the last action you'll ever take, Mr. Spock. For all of you.
Totally illogical. There was no chance.
That's exactly what I mean.
Hot. is locked in, sir.
Activate beam.
Whatever it was, Captain, it just burned up in the atmosphere.
Captain, transporter room just beamed up five persons. Alive and well.
Mr. Sulu, proceed on course to Marcus 3. Ahead, warp factor 1.
Aye, sir.
Captain,
there's really something I don't understand about all this, and maybe you can explain it to me. Logically, of course. When you jettisoned the fuel and you ignited it, you knew that there was virtually no chance of it being seen, and yet you did it anyhow. And that would seem to me to be an act of desperation.
Quite correct, Captain.
Now, we all know, and I'm sure the doctor will agree with me, that desperation is a highly emotional state of mind. How does your well-known logic explain that?
Quite simply, Captain. I examined the problem from all angles, and it was plainly hopeless. Logic informed me that, under the circumstances, the only possible action would have to be one of desperation. Logical decision, logically arrived at.
Uh-huh. I see. You mean you reasoned that it was time for an emotional outburst?
Well, I wouldn't put it in exactly those terms, Captain, but those are essentially the facts.
You're not going to admit that for the first time in your life, you committed a purely human, emotional act?
No, sir.
Mr. Spock, you're a stubborn man.
Yes, sir.